I'm so excited for this first episode. Today we're going to talk about, is personality formed by nature or nurture? How early can you discover your child's temperament? And we're going to lay the groundwork for the Myers-Briggs system, starting with the four people patterns that are first mentioned in the Bible. Can you find your child in these patterns, or yourself, maybe your spouse? You're going to get information like, what is the driving force behind each one of these behavior patterns, and valuable tips for how to parent each type. I'll tell you how to get a free temperament test for your child. Stay tuned. Have you ever wondered if your child's behavior is normal? Is your child a living puzzle you can't understand? Are you craving insight into the minds of your adopted or stepchildren? Learn how God designed them and how to guide them while also gaining insight into your own joy-robbing patterns. Welcome to Not So Normal Parenting, where we unravel the mysteries of family dynamics from toddlers to teens using team-building tools like Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram. I'm Wendy Gossett, personality prodigy, parenting coach, best-selling author, speaker, and viral embarrassing dancing mom. I raised a son and daughter that are as different as Bob Ross and the Black Widow, and I am definitely not normal. Okay, let's dive into the beautifully not-so-normal together. Are going to tackle the question, is it nature or nurture that forms personality? Well, my answer is yes. It's both. Studies show, and world-renowned psychologists agree, that temperament is present at birth. So throughout this podcast, we're going to be talking about this hardware or brain wiring, which is set at birth, and it doesn't change. Of course, I believe in a growth mindset, and so the nurture piece, which is 40% of our personality, does change. And I often have people wondering about that because they express becoming more introverted or extroverted as they grow, and this is just learned behavior. And so when I have parents test their children, I have you test their children for their natural behaviors, which are the behaviors you see from them every day at home, not the behaviors they present to their friends when they are being charming and wonderful outside of the home. So a recent Harvard study followed participants for 80 years, and they determined that 50% of happiness capacity, or the ability to be joyful, is based on our temperament, which is set at birth. And surprisingly, our circumstances only account for 10% of our happiness. And yet most of the time we spend focusing on how we can change or improve our circumstances, or maybe our children's behavior. But the remaining 40% of our happiness capacity depends on how we react to the other 60%. So if we choose to accept ourselves and make the most with the cards we've been dealt, our unique strengths, then we have a much better chance of living our best life. The same philosophy goes with accepting our kids for who they are. So you're probably wondering how early you can determine your child's temperament. Well, here is a story from a baby that was only 2 days old. Alan's mother was surprised when, after breastfeeding him, his tiny hand shot out and pushed her away. At first, she attributed this behavior to infant gassiness or simply chance, but when the straight arming, as she called it, continued, she noticed a pattern beginning to form. The pattern was that he wanted to do things all by himself. He didn't really want to be parented, even at a very young age. I worked with parents of twins who were shocked when their twins switched places in the womb. The one twin that had been extremely active in the womb switched places and came out first. The other twin was completely calm. But after 8 weeks, the parents were sleep deprived because the twins kept waking them up crying night after night. And then they had to go on a vacation where the sleeping arrangements forced them to have the twins in separate rooms. And what they realized was that the calm twin was sleeping through the night just fine, but the other twin was the one that had been waking them up, demanding their attention. And as they grew, the sibling rivalry began. The one twin, the louder twin, Hudson is his name, would crunch his Cheerios super loud, which drove his very sensitive brother insane. Hudson was an extrovert who just blurted out whatever he was thinking, whereas Carter, the other brother, was an introvert who quietly thought about everything before he spoke. I also worked with some adoptive parents who had one biological child and two adopted children. And it was interesting because the mother had a very, very rare temperament. Some temperaments are less than 1% of the population. Her son, her biological son, also had a rare temperament. The children she adopted would run their finger along a dirty car and then lick the dirt. And she just couldn't understand some of their behavior. And their behaviors were fairly normal for their temperament, but the mom didn't have the right reference point and was constantly wondering if their behavior was a result of the adoption. But once she learned the brain wiring of her children, as well as herself and her husband, she was able to relax and have peace of mind and finally shut down the voice that was constantly wondering if these children were happy in their new home. The first mention of temperament is in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1:10 says, "Their faces look like this. Each of the four had the face of a human being, and on the right side, each had the face of a lion, and on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle." So that was the human, the ox, the lion, and the eagle. And these are the four people patterns. These people patterns have shown up over the years through the works of Plato, Aristotle, Hippocrates, Galen, Carl Jung, Kiersey, and Bates, Myers-Briggs, and even the current findings from neuroscience that shows these people patterns are actual brain geography. But I like to talk about how these people patterns show up in movies and books such as The Wizard of Oz. I really feel like they need to do a remake of The Wizard of Oz. That would be awesome. Some of you might not even know this story, but it's about a girl from Kansas named Dorothy who represents the ox type because she just wanted to, well, at first she didn't want to go home. She wanted to leave home and explore the world. But on her entire journey, she just wants to get back home. And the ox type is all about safety and security. They are very obedient, but they can be prone to insecurity, anxiety, and fear. Tradition and routine make them feel safe and peaceful, and they are helpers. So they are the kids that are so thrilled if you allow them to do things for you, like help you fold the laundry or vacuum the floor. And these kids really respond to traditional parenting. The tricky part with these kids is that the thinker, introverted version of this type, can be quite controlling and rigid. These kids are often perfect rule followers at school, getting all gold stars, and then they come home and go into incredible Hulk mode because they're letting it all out because they've held it in all day long. These kids tend to be sensitive in their five senses. They can be picky eaters or have sensitivity to the feeling of clothes or sounds around them, and they can often have sensory processing problems. The extroverted thinking version of this type can be quite bossy, and they are hands-off types of kids where they make their own lists and set their own goals and are very high achievers. And the only difficult part of this child is just that they don't want to be parented and they can tend to want to run the household as a little CEO. This type can be mistaken for a scarecrow type. Then the feeler, extroverted feeler versions of this type can be swayed by a crowd. They often are harmonious, and so they don't really know how to stand up for their own beliefs. So that's something to look out for and something that we'll talk about in future episodes. For the most part, this type is fairly easy to parent, I would say, with the exception of the introverted thinking version, which can often have anxiety or OCD or different types of controlling behaviors. My first child was this Ox Dorothy type, and he was the introverted feeling version. So this version is a total peacemaker. On the Enneagram, if you're not familiar with that system, that is type 9. But this type can really stuff their emotions and you have a hard time knowing what they're actually feeling under the surface. This Ox type is almost half the world. 46% of people are the Ox type. And I get these statistics from Myers-Briggs, which is the most widely used temperament test in the world. And so our society runs according to the SJ, which is sensing, judging, way of doing things. We need schedules. We need to be on time for things. We need laws and rules. And so this type is cautious, and what's most important to them is security and family. And their time orientation is in the past. So they have steel trap memories, the introverted ones, especially extroverted, not as much, but they will replay things that have happened in the past. And if they make a mistake in the past, they will replay it over and over again because they have these amazing memories. And so this can lead to worry and anxiety and caution when moving forward. This fear of making a mistake can cause them to over-research things and seem indecisive. Now, the extroverted version of this type is very decisive, but they also hang on to unpleasant memories and have a difficult time forgiving wrongs of the past. They enjoy collecting sensory details and researching facts. They respect authority and they respond to a traditional parenting approach. So if you've ever looked at a friend and wondered why her kids were so beautifully behaved, it could very well be they both have this Ox traditional temperament. This was my firstborn, and this is why I thought I was a wonderful mom until my second child came along. And my second child was a lion. So a lion is also a sensor, like the Ox. They are a sensory perceiver, sensing and perceiving. And they are 40% of the population. And their main driving force is freedom and self-expression. And they are courageous and brave. Their time orientation is in the moment. And they're a challenger. So they're opposite of the Ox type, pretty much, because the Ox type looks before they leap and the lion type leaps before they look. They just race into things and they like to learn from the school of hard knocks. They like to challenge your authority. They do not like lectures. The extroverted Ox types love to lecture. So I'm telling you right now, if you are that Ox rule follower type and you're an extrovert, you probably have a lot of words and you probably give a lot of lectures. Your lion child does not want to hear the lectures. They need to know that there is a consequence for their action. So the consequence speaks much louder than words, and lions need action. That is their language. They are practical, so rules need to make sense, and they need to have fun, and they're impatient, so they want things to happen quickly. They don't have a lot of patience. So homework and school can be difficult for the lion type. They need lots of rewards and sensory rewards. They love learning environments where they can move, play, and build things with their hands. They're extremely tactile. They're the most tactile type. These were the twins that I was talking about, the adopted twins that wanted to eat dirt. My daughter was shoveling sand into her mouth with both hands when she was a baby. We went to the beach and we couldn't enjoy ourselves because we were constantly pulling sand out of her mouth. So their desire to perform sometimes exceeds their desire to behave. So the T lion types, or the thinkers, T means thinker in the Myers-Briggs system, they are little daredevils and they need to express themselves dramatically, the feeler types more so. They need games and contests to make everything fun. So if you want them to clean the house, turn on some fun music, make it a contest with their sibling. But that can be also a problem because they have to win. So if they don't win, they can really have a big meltdown. And we'll have more episodes on how to deal with that sportsmanship. If you ever had visions of reading stories to your children, your little lion is probably not going to like that. They prefer action to stories. So if you want to read the book to your little ox child and have your little lion child act it out as you're reading, that's probably going to go a lot better. They do have a hard time sitting still in school. This type, if you think about when society began, you had the ox types that were sitting in the building with the marble pillars, making the rules and the laws of society. And the lion type, or the sensory perceiver type, was out hunting and gathering and protecting society with their physical bodies. This type is very physical, and a lot of times they are very coordinated and they walk early and they're excellent in sports, and they can often struggle in school where they have to sit still. That's not really their favorite type of environment. And down the road into the future, that's one thing we'll do on this podcast, is talk about the future. They often don't want to go to college. They don't have a traditional path. Since they learn from life, if they are exposed to different careers and different trades, a lot of times they'll just jump into that and they'll do fantastic because they are extremely practical and can adapt to any situation. And as I work with parents, I notice that adult versions of this type are often in sales where they can have freedom and make their own schedule. They can be diagnosed with ADHD because they do have such a hard time sitting still. They're just, their brain, if you look at the brain geography, it has what's called a tennis hop pattern, where when they're solving a problem, their brain just uses all different parts and no other brain works like that. So they are literally wired to see the threat that's hiding behind the tree. They're just very quick in their senses. They love excitement, parties, concerts, all sensory experiences. They can be little sugar hounds and they crave physical touch. So if you have a super snuggly little child, they're probably this very sensory type. Their approach to life is more relaxed and unplanned, but when they get their sights set on a goal, they can be just as determined, maybe the most determined of any type out there. Just remember, they are the lion. Now it starts getting a little complicated when you start thinking about the lion in terms of introverted lions and introverted feeling lions and introverted thinking lions. They look very different from the extroverted thinking lion, which is the king of beasts. That's the kid on Home Alone. Macaulay Culkin's character was the extroverted thinking lion who could just survive on his own and figure out solutions to any problem that came his way. But then you have the extroverted feeling lion, which is the lioness. They can be extremely sweet and relational, but then they have this very fiery, determined, courageous lion side to them. Then you have the introverted thinking lion, and this one is really confusing because they often mistest as an adult, mistest as the ox type because their brain is very organized and decisive, but the way they live their life is very relaxed and free-spirited. This type is probably the most courageous of all because they don't have feelings to slow them down. They're also extremely independent and aloof. This was my daughter, very rare type for a girl. And then you have the introverted feeling lion, which is the most snuggly and sensitive. And this one really throws parents off because on one hand, they're just the sweetest, most snuggly, easygoing kid. And then if something pushes their buttons, they will just roar and it'll seem to come out of nowhere. Because the lion type is in the moment, when they're in trouble and you scold them for something, they're going to look at you for 1 second and show remorse for 1 second, and then they're going to just continue on their merry way as if nothing happened. And you're going to feel like you have to repeat yourself a little louder and then a little louder. And before you know it, just like me, I was screaming at my daughter, yelling at my daughter, thinking that she was hard of hearing. But really, I just needed to get down on her level, look her in the eye, tell her what the consequence was going to be if she did it again. And of course, we'll talk about appropriate consequences in future episodes. They're little tornadoes and they don't hear you half the time. And so it's really important that you have them repeat back to you what you said. Their rooms can be messy, but some lion types are neat because they really like to be efficient. Since they're practical, they can figure out early that keeping their room clean means that they can find things easier and that's more efficient, and they can get more things accomplished and have more fun. Because of this, as they grow, they can start looking like the ox type. So they are counter to society. They crave freedom and they don't like a lot of rules and boundaries. And so they often seek out a career where they can have freedom. But as they continue to live in society, they have no choice eventually to start obeying the rules and the laws, and they begin to look more like the ox types. Plus, they're extremely observant, so they can pick up cues just from observing the behaviors of others. If you want this type to behave, find them a role model that they can watch and imitate because they are little imitators. So their peer group is extremely important. Since they are the number one sensor, it's really important that you know as they grow, they're going to be very curious and drawn to over-the-top sensory experiences, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, those types of things. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, let's just put it that way. We noticed my daughter was going down the wrong path right before high school, and we sent her on a mission trip to El Salvador, where there was a role model on that trip. And my daughter came home and we noticed she was talking differently. She was praying. She started a Bible study. This person influenced her so much. And we didn't realize it until we heard this person singing in church and realized that our daughter was imitating this person. And my daughter to this day still wants to be a missionary, and she's going to Indonesia this summer by herself, not on a trip with a group, but by herself for 6 weeks because lions are so courageous and bold. So a piece of advice is if you want them to do something, show them versus tell them. The scarecrow type is also a challenger. The scarecrow is an intuitive thinker. So intuition and thinking, they're only 8% of the population. Their main driving force is curiosity, and they are seeking to look competent and to be independent. The example I gave you of the baby earlier, that was an NT or a scarecrow type. Their time orientation is whatever they are engrossed in. They can get completely lost in whatever they are working on. This is the eagle face of God, so scarecrow, eagle. I feel like this type is one of the easiest types to notice because they are so intellectual and they can be very low in their emotional intelligence because they're so smart. This is the child that from a very early age, they have a big vocabulary. They are really interested in reading. They're interested in adult topics. They often seem like an adult walking around in a child's body. And because of that, they will challenge their parents because they actually think they know more than their parents. They can get extremely frustrated because they're so smart, but yet they realize that they are emotionally stunted. So they can be extremely explosive. And this emotion is coming from their frustration at not being able to express their feelings, their anger at not being able to be in control or not being respected or taken seriously. Many times parents will confuse this explosive emotion as being a feeler child, but that's the thinker in your child coming out. They're a thinker. They're frustrated that things don't always work out as black and white. They're frustrated with the gray areas in life. They are super curious and will often ask why. And this sometimes seems like they're challenging because when you lay down the law or give them a rule, they'll ask why. And they just are looking for a logical explanation. So if you can calmly and logically explain to them, it will make more sense for them. They need the expectations laid out very clearly because what might seem obvious to us as far as our emotional intelligence is not obvious to them at all. They have to learn emotional intelligence. They can be extremely bossy and a know-it-all, and they can try to force others to do it their way. It's important to teach this child temperament as a strategy so they can win with people like they would in a game of chess. They are really book smart and rational more than they're empathetic. And so because of that, they love knowing that there's a system for understanding people. I can't emphasize enough to you as a parent that if you are not this type, you don't understand how important knowing temperament is for this type. They can look like a lion type because they also want to win, but for them, it's more about wanting to be competent. The scarecrow and the lion look very similar. They're both challengers and they both love to negotiate or argue. That's one thing I do in my book is I talk about arguing and how really arguing is a strength in disguise, their strength of negotiation. Now, unlike the ox type where all of those children are what we say are J or judgers, that need structure. The lion are perceivers, which they need freedom. The scarecrow has both. You have your judging scarecrows and your perceiving scarecrows. So the judging scarecrows are gonna look a little bit more like the ox type and they're gonna be a little bit more easy to parent. They're more conventional. Whereas the P scarecrow types are a lot like the lions, where they are going to be exploring everything, curious about everything. That example I gave about throwing the ice cream cone up against the wall is that type. They just want to see what happens when they do that. And they look extremely defiant, but they're just super curious. And then finally, we have the Tin Man type, which is the human face of God. And the Tin Man just wanted a heart. The Scarecrow wanted a brain. The lion wanted courage, Dorothy wanted home, the Tin Man just wanted a heart. And the Tin Man stands, their letters are N and F, which stands for intuition and feeling. They're only 6% of the population, and their main driving force is deep meaning and relationships. Their time orientation is the future, and they are a cooperator. They're going to look a lot like an ox type. Both the Scarecrow and the Tin Man type are rare because they are intuitive, and it just means that what's in their head is more real to them than what's in the outside world. The Lion and the Ox are sensory types, and so they're going to make more sense to most people in the world because they use their five senses to take in information, whereas the intuitive types are constantly using their sixth sense. It's a little bit ethereal and hard to understand, but they're going to be daydreaming a lot. They're going to be very imaginative. Tin Man or human type craves harmony. They're the most sensitive and complicated of all the types, especially the introverts, and they are constantly on a journey of self-discovery. Again, this type resonates so much with personality and temperament. And if you are an ox or a lion, you might not understand that, but the intuitive children of the world really, really thrive with temperament. I am an intuitive feeler myself. I'm this human type, and I wish so much that my parents would have understood this system and understood how my brain was wired. It would have been so helpful for me, because intuitives often feel like a square peg in a round hole, like they're a lefty in a righty society. Their emotions run deep, and discord in their relationships are the most difficult thing for them. They will resemble the feeling Dorothy types, but they are highly imaginative and abstract, and sometimes believe their imagination is real, especially if you have an introverted one. Don't ever accuse your introverted Tin Man feeler type of lying, because in their mind, the story is true, and toys can take on life. So be careful when you ask them to put their toy away in the dark toy chest. And even though they're very emotionally intelligent, they can have turbulent emotions and have very difficult times navigating them, because a lot of them feel like they are their feelings, and they have dramatic mood swings causing them to be ashamed of themselves. They're early talkers and they love to read and learn, but the introverts may not show it. The extroverted Tin Men will look like lions since they are so relational and expressive with their emotions, but they aren't as competitive, combative, or confident. Low self-esteem seems to plague the Tin Man type. An extroverted Tin Man can look introverted because they long for meaningful connection. They prefer smaller groups to big parties, and the introverted Tin Men can look like extroverts since they love people. They are constantly torn between their need to be with people and their need to recharge their battery. A Tin Man doesn't want to conform to those around them and longs to be original, unlike Dorothy and Lion types. The Tin Men can be very restless if they aren't inventing something new or engaging in a meaningful task. They seek inspiration more than enjoyment, and they feel discontent often. They're the most idealistic type. They see the big picture, and they can have very high and inappropriate expectations of themselves and others. And once again, you have the J version, which is more structured and can look like the ox type. And then you have the P version, which can look like the feeling lion types. Now, I didn't really go over the Enneagram types that usually go along with these, but the Scarecrow, there are a lot of times they can be eights, challengers, and they can often be a type five that is the observer that sits back. And so a lot of times they can be a head type. The lions are often type sevens. They can also be type eights if they're the thinking lion. They can be the achiever. If they're the feeler lion, they can be the helper, type two. The human or Tin Man types are often type fours or type threes or type twos. Sometimes type ones, perfectionists, because of their high idealistic nature. I find that combining Carl Jung's psychological functions along with the Enneagram is the most powerful way to see your child, because the psychological functions are the hardware, the brain wiring, and the Enneagram is the behavior pattern that shows up from this brain wiring. And the Enneagram is not our personality. It's actually what we are not. It's the behavior pattern that we are doing unconsciously. So if we can bring it to our consciousness, then we can grow and we can help our children grow and not fall into these damaging patterns. I welcome you to go to my website at wendygossett.com and take a free temperament test for your child so that as you listen to future episodes, you can get more out of the training. I plan on having interviews and guests, so stay tuned for that. My very favorite thing to do is to do a brain map for an entire family so that parents can see the connections and disconnections and know exactly how to navigate the family dynamic. If you would love the best roadmap you can have for navigating all the future years with your kids, every stage of development, then go to my website, wendygossett.com, and sign up for Understanding Your Family 101 so that you can get started right away with understanding your kids at the deepest level and understanding yourself and understanding your spouse and yourself. Since I've called this not so normal parenting, I want to share a not so normal story in the first few episodes, just so you can understand who your host is. So when my kids were little, I was getting a lot of traffic tickets because they were fighting in the back seat. They were two under two in diapers, and I did not know how to handle the situation of them fighting in the car. So I blew up a pool mattress and I put it between them in the back seat so they couldn't see each other or hit each other. And that really helped. So feel free to use that. The final thought for the day is from Albert Einstein. God doesn't roll dice. You were chosen to be the parent for your unique child. And just remember that God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. You are called with a mission because you are the perfect parent for your child. Thanks so much for listening. It would be way too normal and expected for me to ask you for a review. So if you learned something new or just wanted to show the love, instead I'll just say, eat some soup. And that'll be my special way of asking, but not asking. So eat some soup. It'll make you feel all good and warm inside. And as a thank you, I'd love to offer you two free resources. The first is a beautifully illustrated ebook entitled 14 Instant Ways to Form a Deeper Connection with Your Child. And the second is a free child temperament test and video for gaining new insight into one of your children. You'll find these free resources at wendygossett.com. And you can also check out many helpful articles as well as buy a copy of Your Child's Inner Drive, Parenting by Personality from Toddlers to Teens. Or maybe you're ready. You're tired of riding the cranky train because there isn't enough peace in your home. So make the move and sign up for my Understanding Your Family 101 Brain Mapping Personality Session. There are scads of helpful videos on my YouTube channel at Wendy Gossett, including the silly one of me dancing in a blizzard on the highway, embarrassing my child. So until next time, friends, keep dancing through the quirks and chaos of parenting, because who needs normal when you can thrive in the extraordinary?